This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Sarah Lawrence Lightfoot is a MacArthur Prize-winning sociologist and professor of education at Harvard University. Over the course of her career, she has studied the culture of families, communities, and schools.
And she's authored 10 books in which she's written expansively and eloquently about the human condition. Her latest is called Exit, The Endings That Set Us Free. In it, Lawrence Lightfoot writes about the many exits we make in our lives. Exits from jobs, from relationships, from the closet, from pain, and from life itself.
By telling the stories of real people and their exits, she reminds us that exits are where transitions and new life begin. They make us who we are and have much to teach us. We're in the habit of celebrating new beginnings, but too often we ignore or diminish the exits that are all around us.
Sarah Lawrence Lightfoot reminds us to celebrate and honor, or at least to be attentive to, our exits. She's the Hargroves Fisher Professor of Education at Harvard University. Her latest book is Exit, The Endings That Set Us Free. And Professor Lawrence Lightfoot, great to have you on Radio Boston. Thanks for coming in.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you.
It was such a pleasure to read this book. It's so full of stories. And I was just mentioning to you in the hallway that I envied the journalism that you put into this book. You've got great voices, great actualities, great life that just comes out of this book.
Well, I always believe that the stories really carry the message that we can find in these very particular, very specific stories, the universals. And one of the things that I was trying to do, of course, is make exits visible. They're usually invisible to us. Give them the kind of probing attention that I think they deserve, even though we tend to neglect them or even think of them as negative spaces in our lives. And in doing that, I wanted to develop just wonderful narratives. And I spoke to these ordinary, extraordinary people going through an amazing range of exits.
Well, I want to talk about some of those stories, but first I'd love to know, what brought you to this idea? Why exits? What sort of inspired you to pursue that idea?
Well, partly I've always just been fascinated by leave-takings and the ways in people say goodbye from relationships, from marriage, from families, from communities. And I've always sort of wondered why so little attention is given to it. There's so little ceremony or ritual or rites of passage that we honor and we recognize in leaving. I've always thought, well, maybe we're missing half the story if we don't pay more full attention to exits. In very ordinary ways, I've been fascinated. I used to run to the window when my children were small. They were leaving for school, and I'd watch their backs exiting. I wanted to see whether their backs were strong enough, their spines were strong enough, as they tilted toward school and left home. I just wanted to look at that exit moment.
What do we miss when we don't pay attention to them? And I think the answer to that sort of depends on the story, and we're going to talk about some of the individual stories. But is there a way to generalize about what we miss when we are not attentive to the exits in our life?
I think we miss moments of reflection, and we miss moments of propulsion. That is, if we don't sort of focus on exits and give them attention, then I think it's very hard to purposefully and creatively compose the next chapter in our lives.
I mean, one of the reasons I think, and you touch on this early in the introduction, that the word exit is so often associated with this idea of exit wound, and
yes,
that is, exits are often painful. So a relationship coming to an end, a marriage coming to an end, some of us might just want to leave that behind and move forward without really giving it the attention that it deserves.
I think that's right. I also think that we are a society that always tilts forward, you know, always move towards some new frontier, some new experience. And we are not a very ritualized society either. So we don't mark endings or beginnings very well, but certainly we don't mark endings very well. We're always poised for the next opportunity. We're always tilting towards the future. And I think in that we neglect these important, potentially kind of explanatory and thoughtful moments.
Listeners, we're talking to Harvard sociologist Sarah Lawrence Lightfoot about her new book, Exit, The Endings That Set Us Free. What are the exits that define you? Did you celebrate them? Did they change you in surprising ways, in ways that you recognize? Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK if you have questions for Sarah Lawrence Lightfoot. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. I'd love to talk specifically about two or three of these stories, because they are wonderful. The first one, and I hope I'm not going to mash his name, is it Bijan Jalili?
Yes.
Okay, so he's an Iranian teenager who leaves his family and the political strife of Iran. This is back in the 1970s, before the Ayatollah Khomeini comes to power, the dawn of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. He has a chance to leave Iran. His father urges him to go to the United States. He does, but this becomes a difficult at first exit for him, right?
Right. Yeah. He says, "I'll go," and surprises himself in saying that. He says it because his father, he's loyal to his father, and his father is terrified that his two remaining sons, the youngest son was electrocuted, his two remaining sons will get swept into the revolutionary movement, and they too will be killed. So the older son refuses to go, and so Bijan says, "I'll go." Mm-hmm. And as soon as he says that, he's devastated by what he's committed himself to. In the meantime, everyone around him, all of the people in the city, in the village, his family members, think he's a hero because he has the opportunity to go to America.
And of course, it's a great opportunity for him to come to the United States to try to find work and get an education and learn English. But he's in love with his family. He's very lonely when he gets here. It's a terribly difficult exit for him, isn't it?
Yeah. He's very lonely, and he really is desperate to get back home, and spends years, even as he goes to school, first to really a rip-off kind of prep school, and then to a really wonderful training school mostly in technology, and gets a job. But that entire time, he's having these conversations with his father, begging to come home.
Right.
And his father keeps on saying, first learn English, then get educated. And they have this dialogue, which is each one knows this is never going to happen. He's never coming home. Mm. Ultimately, he finds a way to get his whole family together outside of Iran and Turkey.
You describe the reunion so beautifully. There's such ecstasy and love and closeness in this family as they come together in Turkey, right?
That's right.
It's just so lovely.
And so he discovers home. Mm. That's home.
That's home. Not Iran, but the embrace of his family.
And not the United States, but the embrace of his family, which he holds with him in his heart for the rest of his life. Mm. Part of what this book tries to do is look through the prism or lens of exit at sort of fundamental human experiences like home. How do we define home for ourselves? And with this story, we recognize if we look through the lens of exit, we might see it quite differently. Mm.
So if not for this exit, he might have, but it might have come to him in a different way. He really came to appreciate what it meant to be loved in a home and to have the support of a family. And it was really the experience of exit that allowed him to do that.
Yes, even the experience of distance and separation.
Mm. It's such a lovely story. Well, another story about home and exit is the next story in the book. Andrew Connolly, a middle-aged gay American man who recalls his long exit from the closet, grows up in a Catholic family in Massachusetts. He's an athlete. He's popular. He has a terrific physique. But he's gay, and it takes him quite a while to peel away these onions, right?
Right, right.
So his exit is the exit out of the closet.
Right. It's the exit home to himself and home to his community. And he describes this long exit. He's a political activist. He's a social activist. So he has comrades in the struggle, but this is a dangerous time. This is when Anita Bryant, the Orange Queen, is declaring a war on homosexuals. This is when at some point during this time, or the Stonewall Riot in 1969 in the Village in New York, which was a liberating, exciting moment for all gay folks. But during this time, he uses a wonderful metaphor to talk about peeling away the layers of persona and mask that were hiding the true Andrew, that is getting at his authentic self, his true homosexuality. He makes a very interesting point that we see throughout all of these portraits of exiters, that exiting is not binary. It isn't that one day you're in the closet and the next day you're out, even though there is this moment usually in exiting when you say, "I'm out of here." It's the moment I've got to take the leap of faith. but rather it is an iterative experience as we exit. It's a messy experience. There are retreats, there's fuzziness, there's ambivalence and ambiguity in our efforts to move away from and to move on to the next.
Well, one of the things that makes his exit doable, it's similar to Bijan's in that he's got the love and support of a family, even if the family isn't quite understanding about his homosexuality, right? They sustain him with their love, which I think gives him the confidence to go forward and do what he must.
It's wonderful, actually, because what he talks about is that his parents never really recognized his homosexuality. They were Catholic, they were working class, they were Democrats, it was Worcester family. And they silenced the conversation every time he brought it up. Mm. They didn't come to the funeral of his beloved spouse who died of AIDS when he was 35. And yet he believes that it is their belief in him and their total enveloping love of him that allowed him to ultimately have the strength to come out of the closet.
Mm. So his exit really becomes a journey home to himself, another definition of home, right?
Yes.
Not a place, but really himself.
Yeah.
Listeners, we're talking to Harvard sociologist Sarah Lawrence Lightfoot about her wonderful book, Exit, The Endings That Set Us Free. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And let's take a couple of calls right now, Sarah, if that's okay. Jeff is calling from Worcester. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, yeah. I'm loving what I'm hearing, especially about the family, the parents. I have a quick anecdote. I also have a question, but I'll keep the anecdote short, if you don't mind.
Go right ahead, Jeff.
Okay. My first teaching job right out of college was not the right place for me. It was I bit off more than I could chew, and my personality was melting away, and my mental health as well. I bet you if I was still there, I'd be insane. But my parents were able to identify that with me, and they helped me respectfully resign from that school. And when I came back home for 2 to 3 months, I was able to reflect. I didn't have anything else to do. I just was sitting and reflecting on teaching because I thought I didn't want to teach anymore. After those 3 months, I was able to pick my baggage up and kind of push it to the side, and I'm teaching now at a different school, and I'm very happy where I am now, and I just really wanted to say that without my parents' love and support, I wouldn't have been able to transition from that one school to the other school. And my question is, how long do you think the ideal amount of time to reflect about a big change before you switch things around?
Jeff, thanks so much for the call. Professor Lawrence Lightfoot.
I think that the stories in this book reveal that the period of time depends upon who the person is, what they're struggling with, their journey through life, that there isn't a particular amount of time. But what I like about your story is that, first of all, there was the support for your exiting and the support for your making sense of the exit, reflecting on it, being self-critical, figuring out that at this moment, this is what you needed to do before you propelled yourself forward to the next. And so that was probably the right amount of time for you, but it's different for every single individual.
Jeff, thanks so much for the call. Let's take another one. Susan is calling from Providence. Hi, Susan.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call. My story is, so I'm divorced after 37 years. That was in 2008. I sold my home. I moved to another state. I moved into a loft. I went back to school and I've just graduated, with an MFA, Master's in Fine Arts, and my thesis concept was based on home and community engagement. Mm-hmm. I've spent the last year actually, searching for, work, but really focusing, you know, once I graduated for searching for work, which you know has been difficult. And, I just had this revelation the other day that I need space. I've been rushing, and, I'm considering I haven't told everyone this yet, but I'm considering taking a pilgrimage, a 500-mile walk, so I can think.
That sounds like a terrific idea, and Professor, go ahead, Susan.
I would like some feedback on is that really escapism, or what's your take on this sudden, like this desire I have to take a long walk?
Sounds like the result of some good thinking.
Yes, yeah. It sounds as if you have been moving very quickly after the loss of your divorce. And one of the things that I think a lot of people experience in exiting is this paradoxical sensation of loss and liberation. And part of the need to really sit still for a moment or take a long walk has to do with figuring out how to manage that paradox of loss and liberation, of pain and joy, and ultimately find a way to move forward to whatever the next thing is.
Susan, thanks so much for the call. You know, Susan's story reminds me a little, or at least it brings to mind, the next story I wanted to ask you about in your book, and that's of Teresa Russo.
Yes.
Middle-aged woman who steps down from leading the nonprofit that she founded and ran for 25 years. She struggles deeply, though, with this long and difficult exit from that job. And what I loved about this story is she did what you sort of recommend, and that is she kind of created a ceremony to say goodbye. There was a plan of succession. She was feted. There was a celebration. But when she left, she had a terrible time.
Yes. Yeah. I think these stories are often stories of struggle. And I think one of the things that her story helps us realize is something that is across all of these exit stories, which is that it is sometimes easier to make the public exit, the exit that is ceremonial, the exit that announces, the exit that you have some control over. You write letters, you make speeches, people come and they celebrate you, they honor your legacy and imprint in the institution. But at the same time, you may be feeling inside. The interior you is experiencing huge ambivalence. Mm-hmm. And for Teresa, she was feeling this dual sense of being cool, calm, and collected on the outside. And on the inside, she was feeling incredible ambivalence and pain. Adding to that, of course, was the problem after she left of finding work and feeling as if the world wasn't receptive. There she is at 58 years old, having nourished and supported this organization. But how does she bring those skills and those gifts and those capacities to a new environment? And she was having a hard time with that. So the world felt unreceptive to the new Teresa, even after she had closed the chapter.
It also seemed like that she liked the idea of slowing things down and getting off the merry-go-round. But as soon as she did, I'm just reading a quote, "I'm really angry at not having enough of a life outside of the company where I was working. The feeling of lost identity, no schedule, no purpose." And later, "Where is the open door? Where is the new life?"
Yes. And yeah. I do think this is not an atypical feeling.
Yeah.
It is very hard to feel yourself out of the middle of the action, to feel not needed, to feel if you're on the margins of an organization that you led and whose vision it was, I mean, that the vision of this organization was yours. And I think to move to the edges, to not be needed, is just extremely, extremely hard.
Let's go to Erin, who's calling from Framingham. Hi, Erin, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I just had a quick story about my exit from a job. I had a state job that I was doing very well in for 5 years. Like Jeff, I was having some mental difficulties. I know he said he was going to go crazy. I actually did go crazy. I had a manic episode. I have bipolar disorder. When I got out of the hospital, I could not handle work. It was piled up. I could not handle it. And I wasn't doing well mentally, so I ended up leaving. And I had 3 months off, like Jeff, and reflected. Got a job at Starbucks, which, you know, I was still not doing well, but I handled it for 2 years. Now I just got a job that is a real job, quote-unquote, that I'm hopefully going to keep and hopefully do well in.
Erin, thanks so much. Professor Lightfoot Lawrence, what do you hear in Erin's story?
I hear joy. Yeah. I hear satisfaction. I'm glad that you have arrived at the place that you've arrived. And I'm glad that you were able to figure out a way to make a productive and successful life after really leaving when perhaps you didn't want to leave. I think that there's quite a difference between leaving out of choice and leaving when it's sort of involuntary, but you must, either because of illness or because you've been fired or for whatever. And so sort of being able to recoup and move forward in this situation, I think, is wonderful.
Sarah Lawrence Lightfoot, I've got to ask you, I wish we had more time, but I want to spend a little time on the last story, actually the last two stories about the final exit, Gwen and Tom Taylor. So Gwen is a woman who promises her dying husband, he's dying of incurable cancer, that his death, his final exit, will be a beautiful celebration of life, family, triumph. Tell us how these two people handled this difficult situation.
Yes, this is a couple of months before he dies of cancer. His hospital bed is brought out to the center of the living room, looking out over a view of the city. He is surrounded by his grown children, by his friends from far and near. And the idea is that he will be the center of this very vital, very interesting, very communicative life. They will come to him with conversations, with political dialogues, with music, with fruit and vegetables, with all of these things that will nourish these last few months of living. And the idea is that this person isn't going to be shunted off to the back wards of a hospital, but be in the center of the action, that he will live large these last couple of months of his life. And that's what happens. But it also provides a sort of a sense of community. I say in the book, he dies in the reluctant arms of the community. There's a sense that what they've created there allows for storytelling, allows for creativity, allows for growth in the relationships with his middle-aged children. They have conversations they've never had before.
It's such a beautiful story.
And
what I love about it, I mean, of course, it's the story of his final exit, but the story of his exit becomes such an opportunity for all of the people that he's leaving behind.
That's right. That his children begin to parent him. You know, they make him breakfast. They read him the newspaper. They knit garments for him, his withering body, right?
Yeah.
And ultimately, the last moment is not pretty, but it is very beautiful when his wife and his son actually oil his body as a final ritual farewell.
Well, Sarah Lawrence Lightfoot, thank you so much for coming in. The book is Exit, the Endings That Set Us Free. What a delight. Thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Professor Sarah Lawrence Lightfoot will be discussing her new book, Exit, the Endings That Set Us Free, tonight at 6 p.m. at the Brattle Theater in Harvard Square. There's a lot more information about all of this, as well as an excerpt from her book at radioboston.org. Stay with us. There's a lot more coming up. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.